Wonderful singing. You have sung very, very well. Give yourself a hand clap for singing very, very well. Amen. God is good, and all the time. And also you are looking good, better than, and tomorrow, and meta, meta, sparkle, sparkle, shiny, shine. We are shades, at least I got mine. Now we are happy to have all of us gathered here. We are a great family, we love each other. And those who are visiting for the first time, karibuni. You are following the service online. We have people all over the world following this service. We thank God for you. Those in the pavilion and those downstairs in the parents' room, God bless you big time. The message I share comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, from verse 37. I'll read a couple of verses, actually about 13 of them. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, from verse 37. It's a great passage. And today, of course, I'll be mentioning David and also Jacob at the same time. And so I believe we'll follow along together. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. In other words, David has seen the hand of God once. He's seen the hand of God a second time. He's going to see the hand of God a third time. And let me say to somebody here, you've seen God's hand in the past. You're going to see God's hand again. Amen. Amen. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. And this is sometimes what we do when we face challenges. We try to figure things in our own strength. Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in this," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cast David by his goats. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," he makes a declaration, "this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. Then the stone, this is what it says, the stone sunk. That's what it's saying. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. And he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the beauty of your word. And I thank you for the life that is in your word. And today, Lord, as we listen to the word, we call forth also the life in the word. And we pray that you would quicken something within us, you would prompt us in a certain direction, and that, God, you would encourage us. Thank you for those who are here in person. Thank you for those who are in the pavilion. Thank you for those who are in the parents' room. Thank you, Lord, for those who are following this service online around the world. And God, I pray you bless us together in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. We may have our seats. We have some guests. My friend Andrew Kemet Mola is here. And he's here with his wife, Crystal, and their son, Ryan and Jesse. They have come all the way from the stateside, Chicago, and they attend a sister church of ours there called Wheaton Bible Church. We have partnered with this church over the years, especially serving the ministry in the Turkana region. And so we are very, very happy to have you with us. My brother Andrew is CEO of Elevate, a digital transformation company, and a member of Wheaton, like I said earlier. And he's going to conduct digital transformation workshop in partnership with Kenya Airways on Tuesday the 28th and Wednesday the 29th of March this week. And this is happening at Ibis Hotel, which is just our neighbor here, this imposing building that's just next to us here. And so Andrew Kemet Mola, would you stand together with your wife, Krista, and son, Ryan, and Jesse, that we acknowledge you the Parklands Baptist way. We really thank you. Karibuni sana. Welcome again and again. In the rest of the visitors also, karibuni sana. The mindset of a kingdom champion. The mindset of a kingdom champion. I want to hear somebody say, I am a champion. Finish the sentence by saying, I'm a kingdom champion. In Jesus' name. The mindset of a kingdom champion. And I sought to study the mindset of David as he is facing Goliath, and also the mindset of Jacob as he goes through, the pieces of his life. And I believe I'm talking to champions. The mindset of a kingdom champion. First of all, believes that victory is God-given. Secondly, believes that victory is agenda-driven. You could also say purpose-driven, is agenda-driven, and believes that victory is guaranteed. A kingdom champion. You know, a champion is a person who vigorously supports or defends a person or a cause. That is a person. Vigorous defense or advocacy for a cause or even a person. This is a champion. And I'm praying that in Africa, God raises many champions across the multitude of platforms from whence we stand. I know we've all come from somewhere. It's a home you've come from a business, a background, wherever the Lord has put you. My prayer, even as I share today, is that God raises kingdom champions with this kind of mindset that I'm going to share with us. And let me say that a champion in any group, whether it's in a family, is such a blessing. It's such a blessing. And that's why we need to pray for the rise of champions. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, it's a verse we quote here many times. The Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God wants you to shine. And I believe that God created no less than champions, and therefore everyone needs to be a champion where God has actually positioned us. I thank God for the rise of David in his season and time, and the rise of Jacob in his season and time. And I thank God for the rise of each one of us in this time that God has given us in the 21st century. And given the challenges that exist, I believe that God is raising people who are able to rise to this challenge and make a profound impact, an impact that cannot be ignored, because it's such a profound impact that it will be an impact that will be a blessing to so many people and remembered over the years. And so God has positioned us, each one of us, for the advance of his kingdom in all the sectors, in all the pockets of society, and in all the platforms of life, God has positioned us to advance his kingdom within those pockets and within those spheres. In other words, then we can pray and say, your kingdom come, your will be done here and now where I am, as it is done in heaven. But of course, the spaces God wants us to step into are already contested. And some of those spaces are already occupied. And you know, when God is telling Jacob, move from here to there, move here, go there, he's asking Jacob to move into spaces where that are occupied already, that have been claimed, and even they are already contested. But if you remember, a key word for us this year is the word occupy. In other words, God wants us to take possession of. And God is not going to fall any short of that, because it's a word he has given us for this year. And so I'm raising a victory altar. Hallelujah. I want you to say, victory is my portion. So there are three areas I would like us to look at. One, victory is God-given. Let me remind us something we know, that victory is authored by God. God is the authority or the author of victory. And so if we are to experience victory, then we need to encounter him first. And we need to have a real plug-in into God. Because the power of victory flows from him, we become channels of that power, and then it flows through us. And as this power coming from God, the victory coming from God, comes into us, then it begins to permeate within the sectors and platforms where God has given us. John 7:38 says, out of us shall flow rivers of living waters. And that is what God has said about you, about me, following online, about you, about every one of us, that rivers of living waters will flow from us. So victory is a gift. It actually comes from God. Psalms chapter 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, others trust in horses. But we do what? We trust in the name of the Lord. You may have a horse, the best horse just outside there, and you might have the best chariot, or you might have the best of equipment around yourself, including guns. But let me tell you, victory does not come from the finest gun, or from the finest chariot, or from the finest horse. These things will fail us and do fail us. Victory comes from God. And that's why today I say look up. The place to look is up, not down. Because down is depression. And when you look across, you're trusting man. The place to look is actually look up. Now, when you think about David in verse 37 to 39, let me just read it again. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. So whether it's a lion size kind of challenge or it is a bear size of challenge, and some things are big, others are small. The issues that we deal with, they are of all kinds. Some happen on Mondays, others on Wednesdays, others on Fridays. Will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Then he said, I cannot go in this. Let me say this. With heavenly armor, we shall conquer. Hallelujah. Not with earthly armor, with heavenly armor. I cannot go in this. You know, you are going into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And into these days, you're going to deal with so many things. So David is saying, I cannot go in this. He said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the porch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approach the Philistine. And the victory is coming to you just as you are. Hallelujah. Just as you are. So Saul tries to pad David and kind of give him earthly armor. But I thank God for this young man. He's very young. He knows enough that when he dealt with the lion and also dealt with the bear, he did not have those things. And so he puts that aside and he says, well, I know how to have this victory. He looks up. He's trusting God. Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2 says, Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2. We'll have it on the screen. Why don't we read it together? This is a short one. Let's read it together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. And it goes on. It's a very nice text actually to read. Saul is trying to pad David for the war, but Saul doesn't understand that battles are first won in the spiritual. And ground level is manifestation. And so he thinks that, well, if this guy is well padded, I mean, he's well secured, he's going to deal with this Goliath. But Saul doesn't seem to understand there is a spiritual dimension to the war that they are actually fighting, and that Goliath is not just a physical entity. There is a spiritual backup around him. And so David says, I am not going to deal with this, and I am going to go just as I am. Matthew 19 verse 26, what does it say? Matthew 19 verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. God has to prepare you for victory. And victory comes from above. It comes from him. And therefore we need to learn on a daily basis to look up to him. Remember when Jacob, after 20 years, he ran off from home, went all the way to Laban's home. He was there for 20 years, and now it's time to come and be reconciled to his brother. Genesis chapter 32, Pastor Ambrose preached from there, and I preached last Sunday from Genesis chapter 33, the message on reconciliation. And God needs to prepare him for victory. And therefore, in his journey back to meet his brother, in Genesis chapter 32, you remember, there is a place where he comes to the place of blessing. And he wrestles the whole night. He must encounter God. You know, he must prevail with God first before he prevails with his brother. And right there is an amazing engagement. He is in that place. And sometimes we do overnight prayers. And you find somebody come in a place like this the whole night. They're in the place of prayer and they are wrestling the place of prayer until they sense the breakthrough. And you know, he was there until the break of day. And he said, you're not leaving me until you bless me. He's got to have a blessing mounted on him if he's going to enter the realm of victory in the next levels. Victory is God given. And therefore, Jacob is loaded with divine anointing and divine blessing for him to prevail with his brother and for him to be able to experience the next steps of his life. And so, David is also at a similar place. And remember, David had been anointed in 1 Samuel 16 verse 13. So, this is no longer just another ordinary boy. He's a young man who really is carrying the power of God within himself. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. And the prophet Samuel, in the presence of the rest of the family, actually removes his horn of oil and pours oil on David. And the Bible says, from that day, the Spirit of the Lord rested on David. No wonder the Bible says, it is not by power nor by might, but by my spirit you will make it, thus says the Lord. And therefore, my brother, my sister, you don't need to go knocking other doors to figure out how you'll get your victory in your marriage, in your business, in your career, in your studies, within your platform. You don't need to go knocking other doors or go all kinds of places. There is a place that is secure, and there's a place that is reachable, and that is God. And in the name of Jesus, it is possible to summon the victory that comes from God. And this victory, let me say it here, is available to everyone. It's not just for pastors. This victory is available for everyone. And so today I raise a victory altar, and victory is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Whichever area, hallelujah. It doesn't matter how big the giant looks. The first place to look is look at God. Because that's the only way you can see the giant become an ant. And I like the way Pastor Ambrose, you normally put it. You know, giants collapse to become ants. And when you take the word giant and you remove G-I, you remain with? Inside a giant is an ant. So we would like to collapse that giant into an ant. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand to the Lord. We collapse it now in Jesus' name. So all I need, the mindset that first looks at God, and you see how big he is, and you see how powerful he is, and then looks at the giant from that perspective. It's a mindset. And you look at the giant from that perspective. Now that is the making of a champion. And some people have been paralyzed, not moving, like the Jewish nation were paralyzed for 40 days or so, looking at the giant, but they needed to look up. What they needed to do is look up. But then a young man shows up who has this mind shift or this mental mindset that I have a God. No wonder the psalmist said, and he said, David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He had a dynamic relationship with God. He guides me beside quiet waters. So he's the one who guides me. He restores my soul, you know. And he really guides my life with his rod and his staff. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, not one day, forever and ever. Amen. So at the battlefront, God is present. Find him. God is present. Find him. I don't know what your marriage is going through. In that battlefront, in the heat of the fight in that family, God is present. Find him. Young person, you don't know the next step in life. You've done your degrees, no job, and you've been tamaking for a long time. For those who are new, like from Wheaton, tamaking is actually a Kenyan word. I don't know the American slang for the same, but it's when you use your feet, go job hunting, and you hit the tarmac. You basically walk. You don't have money for bus fare, so you're just using your feet, and you are tarmacking, and you are knocking doors everywhere. Let me say, the next door you knock is opening right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, God is there, even on the tarmac, and all you need to do is find him. That is the mindset of David. It's also the mindset of Jacob, as he's coming back to meet Esau the giant. Because remember, at that point, they want to reconcile in Genesis chapter 32. And so he must come to a Penuel to encounter God. And then with that strength, walk into his victory. And so victory comes from above. It is God given. But secondly, victory is agenda driven. Victory is purpose driven, or you can say is agenda driven. From verse 45, what does the Bible say? David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you. I like those words. He's so confident. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know. I repeat that. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give all of you into our hands. Let me say that the key agenda of victory is to glorify God. The end of the purpose and the end of the agenda is to glorify God. And as David is standing there facing Goliath, yes, he's going to do something. A miracle is going to happen. Something profound will happen. But he lifts it beyond the surface and he says, for God's glory. And let me say that the primary kingdom agenda is to glorify God. God has given you skills. God has given you talents. God has given you money. God has given you family. God has given you a neighborhood. God has given you a country like Kenya. God has put you in Africa, and God has put you in your own nations, those who are following online. God has put you in that country right now. God has given you that good job and that good positioning. The kingdom agenda is to glorify God. And therefore, God releases his victory. I am a channel of his victory that it may permeate through me, and so that a testimony may rise. That is why God does what he does. And let me say that God will do much more. Hallelujah. God is about to do much more. And I want to thank God for Parklands Baptist Church. This is a great church here in Africa. It's a church that has chosen to glorify God. And everything we do, like the scriptures would say, do everything unto the glory of God. David, a young man, understands that truth, understands that perspective, that as I proceed now, I will bring you down, Goliath, and I will do the following. And he says all the things that he says there, that all nations may know. And for those who are visiting with us for the first time, this is the year of the Lord's empowered world changes. Empowered. Our word is empowered. Well, our year is the year of the Lord's empowered world changes. And this month, we are looking at empowered thought. Yeah? Activated ideas this month. You know? So this young man, very young with this kind of wisdom, he is now a world changer. And he's going to change his world with one activity. That I believe in young people. I believe in young people. And I believe in the strength they have. In the past 2 weeks, I've had quite a number of young people come. And they share with me a lot about their skills and what God is doing in their lives. And one of the groups that caught my attention, young people, is they are creatives. And they come and they tell me, Pasi, here for pastor, we say Pasi. That's our way of saying Pasi, pastor. So when I say Pasi, understand it's pastor. Pasi, you know, I have this. There's one, of course, who came and said, I have put together quite some music and came with a phone and said, I'm even going to play some of the songs from the, you know. And he has about, I think, 65 and played. And I was in my office there. And Pastor Ambrose, me and Nilko and Ajivinjari too. Yeah, Nikiwa Pale. You know the way you just go like this? Yeah, enjoying the music and flowing with the moment, because a young David is sitting here. The music is coming out, and this music is blessing my heart. It's just amazing. Young people, creatives, and Pastor Ambrose, I know next month we are doing creatives. Actually, we are dedicating a whole month next month. Yes, creativity. Yes, next month. God has blessed us in this church with so many young people here. I'm amazing, who are really creatives. And my friends who are in positions where you can assist people who are creative move to the next level, including my brother Mola here. Create those positions. Talk to me, I'll get you like 10, just like this. Am I lobbying for someone? That's what we do as pastors. When we come before the Lord, we pray for you. And we say, God, create position for so-and-so. Create position for so-and-so. See my young friends right there. And God makes a pathway, you know. And we pray and we say, God, create a pathway for so-and-so. And when we pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you are out there in the city, all of a sudden it becomes easy. Somebody gives you a phone call or some applications you made some years back. And you know, a letter just shows up and a door begins to open. And so when he's standing before, he knows that everything in him, in David, everything in him at that moment, he is bringing to the altar where God is glorified, and he is doing it for God's glory. That's a very, very important principle in terms of victory. A mindset that whatever I will do it for God's glory. You know, there are people who do stuff to get medals, and medals are okay, and they are decorated, you know, decorated everywhere, decorations, even here. Pastor Regan, you've seen the guys with decorations all over. Some are tattooed with decorations everywhere. But let me say this. God has invested in me and invested in you for his glory. And so if I understand kingdom agenda, that is what it is. Victory is agenda driven. And so when you connect yourself with this kind of agenda, then victory comes. Go ahead and serve and maintain a servant attitude. And so you find for Jacob in Genesis 35 from verse 11 to 15, he anchored the covenant. You know, he anchored the covenant. And the covenant is replayed through his life. And you know, it's in that place where Jacob is from Abraham, Isaac, then you're having Jacob, where actually you have the 12 nations or the 12 tribes now begin to come out. If you remember, there was a lady called Leah, and Leah had 6 sons. There was a lady called Rachel, she had 2 sons. And then there was a lady called Bilhah, she had 2 sons. And a lady called Zilpah, she had 2 sons. Now the total number was actually 12. And from Jacob then comes the 12 tribes. The covenant anchored through him. And so that God is glorified, and so that his promise is kept. And the agenda, therefore, go forth, be fruitful, go forth, multiply, go forth, replenish the earth, go forth, subdue it, go forth and have dominion over the nations. Then through Jacob, it is being fulfilled. And all of this, especially when you read the whole of Genesis chapter 35, where Jacob comes back, it's a rededication. He comes back to the altar. He comes back to the place where he first heard God. God revealed himself to him. And he first of all really helps the spiritual focus of his family. Idols are thrown out. There's a rededication. And they are ready again. They go and set up an altar called Bethel in Genesis chapter 35. And he pours oil on it, you know. When you read the whole chapter, you understand that Jacob is positioned to anchor the purposes of God. And he is available there. And at that altar, he's actually giving glory to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so let me say that victory is coming your direction. And the victory God is bringing to you is so that you may glorify him. God is going to give you a testimony. I'm prophesying. God is going to give somebody a testimony. And it's not a small testimony, because you have the mindset of glorifying God. That whatever God will give you, people will be passing there and say, there's a God in heaven. That's all they'll be saying. There's a God in heaven, because they know where you've come from. They know in your own strength and power, you could never get there. And you are there. God has done something. And they are looking. There is a God in heaven. I went to dedicate a business past Kamakis, I think the Eastern Bypass, going down on that road, new road. By the side of the road, we have church members. And I think some of them are here. Must have seen Martin. Would you stand? Yeah. Actually, the principal is here. Maybe it's a couple, but the director is a wife. Martin and Cecilia, thank you very much. Thank you. And I went to dedicate. They have a big business. I went to dedicate. And Pastor Ambrose, like you normally say, we know where people have come from. This couple has come from far. And God has lifted them from one degree of glory to a higher one. And I entered there. And I said, my God, this is amazing. This family have decided, before they dispatch the first lot that goes out from the business, they want to, first of all, have an altar of God and say, unto God's glory. And I was very excited. Hallelujah. Unto God's glory. How many of us get a new job and you enter as if you are the one who got yourself the job? How many? There are so many. How many wake up in the morning and they don't even pray? They just go into a day, and a day is a gift from God. And then from one activity to another activity, as if God does not exist. You know, unto God's glory. And I remember they are saying, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, God gives us the power to make wealth. And therefore, if you want to be wealthy, look up to God and say, God, give me power to be wealthy for your glory. And I'm looking at billionaires. Somebody catch it here? Do you know God is able to do something overnight that you'll not believe? Huh? 2005, there is a group of young people, three of them. One of them called Steve Chen, another one Chad Harley, another one Jawed Karim. And they set up a platform of video dating, video dating. And they thought it would be very popular. You know what happened? 1 week ran, no single video uploaded there. And then they went ahead and they said, okay, we give an incentive of $20. If you upload something here, we give you $20. Imagine, attracting users, nothing happened. But then the creators opened it up, the platform beyond dating. And they said, you can load anything. You can just put up a video. The site quickly gained popularity. It is now called YouTube. Can you imagine? It's now called YouTube. And then Google bought it for the following year for $1.65 billion. That blows my mind. For $1.65 billion. How much is that in Kenya shillings? My young friends here, because I see you. So when I talk about billionaires, I'm talking about God can give you an idea, and overnight, I'm talking about overnight, because with God all things are possible. And suddenly, instead of tamaking, Brother Mose, I know you don't tamak, I'm just using another, with your wife there. Instead of tamaking, all of a sudden, ni helicopter inafika hapa. Did somebody hear what I say? For God's glory, God will give you a testimony for his glory. And God is not limited in what he can actually do. And so victory is agenda driven. Are you ready to glorify God? And so David is standing there and he's saying, I am not just an accident standing here. I am going to do a major work, and I'm going to do it for God's glory. But finally, victory guaranteed. Victory guaranteed. Celebrate. The psalmist said in Psalm 118 verse 15, I can hear a shout of victory in the tent of the righteous. Let me prophesy and say, even ahead of time, I am hearing shouts of victory in your tents. Is somebody connecting with this? Shouts of victory in your tents. There will be weddings. Some places weddings have never happened. There will be graduations. Some places people never put a kofia in that family. I can hear a shout of victory in the tent of the righteous. Hallelujah. You'll move into your own house. Is somebody getting me? In Jesus' name. Remember, for God's glory, so that the nations may know there is a God in heaven, and so that neighbors may come to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior because of your testimony. That happened in John 4:39. The Samaritan woman had a testimony. She went back to Sychar, shared her testimony. A whole city was brought to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody moving into their own house. It's coming. And then you'll invite Pastor Ambrose. I'm getting selfish here. And Pastor Simon to come over. And those are exciting moments. I'm invited when people are promoted to another level. I go in and they say, Pasi, now I want you to see. You left me in that kakona, a room that is almost an apology. Do you know there are some rooms? It's like they're apologizing. Aka room on that side. So you want to say, sorry. You know, Pastor, I have come from there. Come over, Pastor. And we go. And get into that place. And he says, should I remove my shoes? He says, no, no, just come in like this. And you walk around. It's expansive. It is beautiful. I mean, God has put, it's like God has ordained, put every item in that place. It's looking so organized and so orderly. And you know, you enter there and you say, victory guaranteed. This person, I have known them. I know where they have come from. I know where they are. And then tears of joy start rolling. I am saying Psalm 118 verse 15. I can hear a shout of victory. If I could have it on the screen. I can hear a shout of victory in the tent of the righteous. Would you receive this celebration? It's called the victory celebration. May you make it your portion for yourself, for your children, and for your family, and for generations to come. And by that statement, I cancel every spirit of failure in Jesus' name. I want to repeat that. From this position and from this altar of victory, I cancel every spirit of failure that comes to sabotage your efforts and also your inputs, that comes to eat the seed you have planted, the little foxes that spoil the crop, and they come and they nibble at your work, you know, and at your effort. And you're putting so much effort, but by tomorrow, it has been eaten 3/4. So left with a quarter. By the time you're gonna, even that quarter is gone by Wednesday and Thursday. We cancel that right now, here, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let me make a statement I've made here before. I decree and declare that you shall see the planting and you shall see the harvest. Let me repeat again. You shall see the planting and you shall see the harvest. Victory guaranteed. Let me tell you, when he released the stone, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee? The Holy Spirit, our guarantee. He takes charge of the stone. And your efforts, God will take over. He takes charge of that stone. And then drives it in the power of God. It is no longer in the strength of David. Because he's a young man and he's just released a stone. It is going at the speed at which, you know, but then God takes over. And then it moves at the power, you know, of the Holy Spirit. And then this stone is able to probe and figure out, because there was armor all over Goliath, there was armor, is able to probe the right place to actually get in. And it drilled, it kind of like it was a drill. It went in, and suddenly this big giant celebrated on the side of the Philistine, the strongest man they had, encounters the power of him who is above every power, encounters the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And I tell you, no stronghold of the enemy will stand when you release the stone of prayer and you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Finds a landing, and suddenly Goliath finds another idea. This month, remember, we are talking about activated ideas, but the activation is to fall. It's activated to fall. And Goliath goes down with a thud. It must have been heard from far, because it just goes like boom. In the first service, I quoted Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus also seeing how the enemy is brought down. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, if I can have it on the screen. Goliath comes down with a third. His fellows and friends and the rest of the Philistine army can actually see what is happening. And it is something they have never seen before. Let me have Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. He replied, I saw Satan do what? Fall like lightning from her. This is sudden. The description here is so fast. It happens before you know. And so David, because the stone goes so fast and is so powerful, can actually see, you cannot miss Goliath falling. And also the whole Jewish army on this side sees what God is doing. Let me see, the nations will see what God is about to do. Believe with me. Have this mindset, the champion mind, kingdom champion mindset. Believe with me. Be like David and believe. Release the stone by faith. Leave it in God's hands. Pray. Quote a scripture. Make a declaration. Speak into the mountain by faith. And then suddenly you will see that Goliath come down. And for some of us here, there may be something that has affected your growth into the next level for quite a while. But today I decree victory for you in Jesus' name. And I declare you will prosper. And people will look, your own relatives, they will say, how did this ever happen? I'm saying it's God. Eh? How did it happen? God is making it happen. And so victory is guaranteed. Occupy and begin to celebrate. The scripture I had asked for earlier, I think I saw it there. I can hear a shout of victory in the tent, resounding joy and praise in the tent of the righteous. And verse 23 of the same chapter says, Psalm 118, go to verse 23 now in that psalm. It says, this is the Lord's, God has done this, and it is what? Marvelous in our eyes. Then the next verse, the Lord has done it this very day, not casual, right now. Yeah, let us do what? Rejoice. Me, I'm preparing my trumpet because I want to come over and join you in that moment of celebration. Hallelujah. When I come with my trumpet, I will stand and blow to the north. And remember when I came to dedicate, I mentioned that in that business. Face the north, blow the trumpet of victory. Face the south, blow the trumpet of victory. Face the east, blow the trumpet of victory. And the west, blow the same. That the world may know that God has done it. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And he has done it this very day. Today, I have raised the altar of victory. Let me say, victory is a mindset. It is a mindset. And it's a mindset called the champion mindset. It is a mindset that says, it doesn't matter how big this thing looks, I am going through. I am going to make it. I'm going to succeed. And I'm praying that through the month of April and the rest of the months of the year, we are going to see the hand of God. Pastor Ambrose said, march. We are marching into our miracles, from miracle to miracle. And the rest of the year. And so as I pray today for us and for Africa, the continent, I'm asking the enablement of victory. It is called the victory power to come. And it actually comes from God. But I'm also praying also the agenda of God to be honored, that God may be glorified. Because sometimes God blesses us, we forget God. We get the answer to prayer, we turn away from God, and we take off. Yeah, when God has answered prayer. So I'm praying the victory power to come, but also the wisdom to glorify God as God does what he's going to do. And then we shall hear resounding joy all over our neighborhoods. Instead of tears, we shall be doing tears of joy, actually. Hallelujah. And we shall be waving handkerchiefs of victory from every place, every home, I declare in Jesus' name. And that is coming through. It's coming through. So, Pastor Ambrose, I share this message in the context of a weak economy, in the context of a global reality of war and earthquakes and floods and cyclones and hurricanes, in a global context of suspicion among peoples and among nations. But even as I do it, I know David faces Goliath, releases the stone, the Holy Spirit takes over, eventually Goliath comes down. God is able to handle what you cannot handle. And all these giants surrounding us, as I pray today, they are coming tumbling down in Jesus' name. Tumbling down in Jesus' name. And God is making a way where there was no way. Jacob ends up becoming Israel. He's on the rostrum of victory. Even when he's dying at a ripe age of 147 years, you know, he was 17 years in Egypt, the last years of his life. Now he's 147 years. He's partially blind. But even then, he's receiving Joseph in Genesis chapter 48 towards the end. And he's receiving Joseph with his two sons. It was Ephraim and Manasseh. Yes, Manasseh was the firstborn. And Ephraim. And he's there victoriously blessing his grandsons. And he says, Joseph, I thought I would never see you again. But now I'm seeing you and seeing your children. In fact, your sons come into my account. Your sons become my sons. And now, Joseph, I want to bless your sons. And the two sons, he sits on a bed. And the two sons are brought near. And he puts Manasseh on the right side and Ephraim on the left side. You know what Jacob does? Like Jacob always does? Now he's Israel. You know, Manasseh is the firstborn. Ephraim is the second, he's the younger one. He crosses his hands and places the right hand on the younger one and the left hand on, yeah, the senior one. So Genesis 48, the story of Jacob, and it ends very, very well. He's a happy guy. He's a secure guy. He's just blessing his children and blessing his grandchildren. The story of Jacob ends well. And so when you talk about empowered thought, you know, empowered thought, God visited Jacob. God led him through as he spoke to him. He connected with the word, and eventually he ends up in the rostrum of victory. Victory is guaranteed. And let me say, I've shared about David and about Jacob. Concerning you, victory is guaranteed. Concerning our children, victory is guaranteed. Even if huyo mtoto amefika form 3 akakata, atarudi. In Jesus' name. He's going back to school. That child will finish high school. That child will finish university. That child will find their place in the marketplace. And that child will shine like David, bringing down Goliath. And because Goliath has come down, a whole nation is saved and delivered. They can go home and sleep like babies. They were panicky, they were anxious, and things were very difficult. But because of one young man called David, taking his position and having this champion mindset, a whole nation is saved. And so that's what I'm saying. Victory is guaranteed. And Pastor Ambrose, this congregation is a congregation that will bring nations to the Lord. And the year's theme is a great one. Everybody bringing nations. Are you believing what I'm saying? Yeah, bringing nations. You shall be fathers and mothers of nations. And that's what God wants with our lives. Therefore, as I close, have this champion mindset. It's a mindset that knows victory is God-given, victory is agenda-driven, and victory is guaranteed. I'll ask us to stand as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I celebrate David and celebrate Jacob from this pulpit. But together with David and Jacob, celebrate many others who are listening to me here and those who are following online. Because God, you're about to bring Goliaths down. And as Goliaths are coming down, people are being delivered and set free from the challenges that they face, from fear and panic and anxiety. And they are being released to enjoy what you have in store for them. And so thank you, Lord, for this great congregation. And it's a congregation of world changers, just like David and Jacob were world changers. And my Father, as we leave this sanctuary today, I know there is an impact zone you're sending us into. And as we go back into our platforms, my God, we are going with a new mindset, the champion mindset, knowing that God, you're bigger than the challenges we face, knowing that God, you desire to be glorified, and knowing that God, you grant us the victory. And so, Lord, from this altar of victory, I release the victory paradigm into our lives and declare that victory is our portion. And therefore, all those areas that have not been visited by victory, they are victory deficient. They have a victory deficit. My God, I pray that as we leave this sanctuary through this week and in the days to come, testimonies will show up. Miracles will show up. Breakthroughs will show up. All for your glory, and so that the nations may know there's a God in heaven, and so that many will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And therefore, Lord, we break the spirit of failure once again in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every spirit that aborts the progress of God's people. And God, we invite a pathway, an open pathway upon which your people will go. And therefore, I bring all the gifts, all the talents, every ability, everything you have invested in us, I bring it to the altar now of victory. And my God, we give it to you. We dedicate it into your hands. And we pray, deploy it. And my God, I know I know you're a deployer. You're a deployer. You're deploying our talents and gifts at the highest levels. Visas are coming and doors are opening because you must get to that country very quickly because they need what you have. And God, you are deploying. And so I ask the angels of deployment to now be unleashed. And as your people go out, my God, I pray, let these angels guide them and let these angels bring favor and let these angels, my God, lead them to those places of great influence where, my God, our people will make that difference. And so, Lord, even as I pray, I cannot forget to pray for Africa. And again, I say, Africa, arise and shine, for your light has come and your glory is risen upon you. It is your hour, Africa, to arise. And therefore, God, I prophesy a beautiful destiny for Africa. I prophesy a great destiny for the peoples of Africa. And God, I see you doing something new in this continent that the nations of the world will look at and say, there is a God in Africa. There is a God who is intervening on their behest. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing through this prayer and, Lord, encouraging somebody listening to me. And therefore, I pray, and we can lift our hands, that God, you bless us on Monday. Bless us on Tuesday. Bless us on Wednesday. Bless us on Thursday. Bless us on Friday. Bless us on Saturday. Bless us this coming Sunday. My God, we are covered, we declare. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. We are covered, I declare, by the blanket of blessing. And because we are blessed, then we are favored. And because we are blessed, then we are favored, then doors will open. And therefore, we go with the signature of divine blessing, the signature of divine favor that opens doors wherever we go. And I have prayed this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all say,
amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give another hand to Jesus. He deserves the praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And ever, amen. Have a great week.